Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 24 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Walt Murray of The Wild Ride. Welcome back to the show, Walt.
Thank you, Rob. It is great to be back.
Yep. A lot of fun. And we're going to be doiling around today. So we'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah, Doyle does not have a huge role in this film, but man, does he make a mark.
He's fire. So minute 24 begins with smoke starting to clear as the men approach the bunker's entrance, and ends with more men getting to the top of the whole complex. So yesterday we ended things with the men getting ready to get through the entrance to the bunker. You know, they shot three Germans that were running out, and you know, at this point they're ready to converge. And as the minute begins, so Miller then goes, "Come on, Doyle."
Yeah, and then Doyle does his job, lights him up.
That's right. So Doyle is actually played by an actor named Glenn Raj, W-R-A-G-E, Rage. I don't know. He has 168 IMDb credits. It just like blows my mind. Most of it is audio work. So he is
okay.
You know, that which makes a lot of sense that he has a, I didn't find any like characters that he played that really stood out. He's one of the many people that I contacted to try and get them to come on the show, but he didn't respond to me for some reason. I don't know. Some crazy guy wants to talk about those 3 seconds that I'm that I'm in the frame. I don't know. I tried.
That's all you can do.
I went through IMDb and I contacted so many of these bit actors, you know, who had small little parts in this movie, and not one of them responded to me. Sorry, one of them responded to me, telling me that it sounds great what you're doing. And I was so happy that he's the one who responded, because I was hoping to actually then get him on the show, but he didn't respond. It was Ryan Hurst, who plays Paratrooper Mikkelsen
later on.
Yeah. So he's the only person out of all the people that I tried contacting that responded to me. He responded to me on Facebook, and he says, "Oh, it sounds great." And I was like, "Does that mean you want to do it?" And then he didn't respond.
Never responded.
Didn't get a response after that. But again, I'm sure he's very busy. So I don't hold it against him for not wanting to be on the show.
Yeah, it's too bad. We had a couple of actors who've come on ours. Burton Gilliam, who played Lyle in Blazing Saddles, and Beverly D'Angelo came on. We were doing a quick bit on Christmas Vacation. But it is hard to get people to respond and come on. It's kind of crazy.
It's true. It's very true. And so at this point, we get to see Doyle. You know, Glenn is here. And, you know, we see him standing behind everyone, and he's getting ready to use the torch. But beforehand, Miller then says, "Sarge." And then they throw a grenade into the entrance of the bunker with a nice explosion that is basically just a whole bunch of dust coming out. And then someone screams, "Flame." And then Miller turns to him and goes, "Doyle, do it." And then we see Doyle like puts the edge of his flamethrower into the bunker and just lights it up. Now, I always found it a really interesting thing that this was, a specialty of a soldier during World War II. You know, in any given unit, they always had like these flamethrower guys. What would bring you to the point where you say, "Oh, I want to have a guy who isn't shooting a gun; he's just gonna have,
he's gonna fire."
You know, I mean, it gives new meaning to the idea of saying fire, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an effective weapon. I know that going back to World War One, maybe even further back, that I mean, it is a hugely effective weapon. I would not want to be that guy. And but man, I mean, it'll definitely do some damage. And you know, as Doyle shows here, it is a brutally effective weapon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw in a much earlier minute, you know, a guy, a flamethrower who gets shot, and he and a few others that are around him all get engulfed in flames. I mean, that would be my fear of wanting to be given this type of specialty, you know, that it's going to explode on my back.
And you are a target. I mean, you are a big walking target.
Right. I mean, back then we talked a little bit about what the, you know, like the, what the whole idea is behind it. So we're not going to go over that again, but, you know, and like the history of flamethrowers and stuff like that. But again, to me, just the concept is just very, it's a strange concept that if you're in a modern, even World War II, a modern type, modern style war, you know, to be having a guy who just is using fire as opposed to, you know, shooting the enemy with bullets, to me is just a little strange, but okay. I guess they had a reason for it.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at this bunker type warfare, it is, arguably one of the best tools to get them cleared. And
true.
I know in, the Pacific, they used them on all the island, warfare, for the same thing, just clearing bunkers and caves and stuff like that.
Burning down trees,
yeah. Stopping tanks, I guess. I don't know if they're really used that much anymore. I'm not really a weapons expert, but a brutal weapon.
My understanding is it's not used anymore, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. Not really wanting to be on either end of that one.
No, not at all. Not at all. And then, so Doyle does his duty. And then, they show us the shot from the other side, which is great. You know, we see the soldiers who are looking up at this pillbox bunker, you know, and you see that the whole thing just light up, with fire inside. And, you know, makes you wonder what the soldiers that are standing there watching this, what would be going through their mind, because they don't necessarily know that Doyle is right there. You know, they're not following the action of what's going on up top.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's gotta be a horrifying scene.
Yeah.
As much death and destruction as you're seeing, it is a horrifying scene.
Right. Yeah. And then the whole bunker just gets engulfed in flames, and we see a whole bunch of, you know, the German soldiers, that their bodies are on fire, and one of the guys just screams, "Don't shoot! Let him burn!"
Yeah, you
know, goes back to the brutality of this. I mean,
brutality.
They're one of the things that Spielberg does a great job here of is showing that this isn't just one sided.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just one side that's being brutal. You know, you have it on both sides. That's the idea of war.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't sugarcoat it here at all. He shows
he shows
that these characters, you know, these characters that are based on real, I wouldn't necessarily say real people, but on real personalities and stuff like that. You know, they were themselves, anyone is conflicted when they're in this type of situation. You know, are you supposed to be happy when the enemy is burning or not? You know, that type of thing. What does it say about you if you're happy that's happening to them? You know, that type of thing. It brings up the nice question about that.
Yeah. And when you're asking these men to do something that is terrible, but terribly necessary. And it's a really hard thing to think through, reason through. And I mean, war sucks. It's terrible, but at times it's necessary.
Correct.
And so anyway, yeah, they do a great job of showing both sides of that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they get to use a lot of stuntmen here. You know, they have a guy, burning and who basically flying through the air.
Yeah.
And then the shot goes back and we're back in the trenches watching soldiers run up. You know, again, every so often one of them gets shot as they're running across and stuff like that. You know, as they're advancing forward here and stuff like that, which again, it's great the way that they show all this.
Yeah, and you begin to see this wave of men coming mm-hmm. up.
Correct.
And you get the sense that the battle is turning.
Correct. Right. But then they also give us the opportunity to literally see how far or what the distance is between these two trenches where they're so close to one another, basically.
Oh, yeah. Just right on top of each other.
Seriously. You know, and just shooting back and forth between them. You know, and then
every once in a while you do see a guy just randomly get hit out of nowhere.
Right. Correct. And then, you know, we see one of the Germans, you know, stand up, put his hands up and, you know, says something in German. We're not really sure what he says. And then another one does. And then one of the guys just shoots him. The first one, it could be that it was an accident that he shoots him.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But then they're shooting at all the others that are surrendering. And then they just stop. And they decide they're going to go and, arrest these guys. They're going to they're going to take them prisoner. You know, that type of thing. And I like the way they do it.
Yeah, I do too. And it shows I've always just thought that he didn't mean to shoot somebody trying to surrender, that it was just he popped up and fired and that just, you know, he didn't have a chance to really process that's what that guy was doing.
Correct. Right. But again, but we'll never know what his true thoughts were. It could be that it was someone who said, hey, you know, I have an opportunity to kill another one, so I'm going to do that. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Now, when you look at the idea of surrendering during war and stuff like that, so what's the first idea that comes to mind of what type of gesture do people make when they're trying to surrender?
Yeah, either hands up or a white flag.
Right.
White flag, I think, is usually like the international sign of surrender.
Okay, well, I thought that too, but it turns out that is not true. The white flag, according to international law, is a desire for a parley. It's not necessarily to surrender.
Interesting.
It's let's discuss surrender or whatever it is. Or let's discuss terms of, you know, what we're going to do here and stuff like that. Yeah, I also found that very interesting. I thought, you know, I thought that waving a white flag basically means I give up, but it's not. It's the idea that let's talk. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think one of the funniest white flag scenes is the one in A Bridge Too Far where the German walks across the bridge with a white flag and says, you're surrounded. We'd like to discuss the terms of surrender. And the British guy says, I'm sorry, we can't take all of you prisoners. And he just has this confused look and he kind of turns around and walks off.
That's right. Well, again, it's the also the idea that, you know, paratroopers the main job of a paratrooper is to be in a place where you are surrounded by the enemy or something like that.
Oh,
you know, right. Now, did you know that false surrendering is illegal according to the Geneva Convention?
I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't pretend to surrender. You know, you can't do what they did in the Dirty Dozen. You know, during the war games.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're not supposed to.
Yes. apparently, according to this article, it is relatively frequent throughout history that there have been many false surrenders. You know, as you to be able to use it to get the upper hand against the enemy type of thing. You know, I guess maybe in the idea of a Trojan horse, is that sort of a surrender, a false surrender? I don't know.
Yeah, probably not the Trojan horse, but yeah, there have been plenty of Trojan horses since then. I know there were a couple in Hacksaw Ridge where they acted like they were surrendering and then pulled a grenade out.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, you do see it pretty frequently in movies for sure.
Yeah, you see it in real life too.
Yeah.
You know, when in these type of situations. But yeah, so again, the idea is that you know, these guys are just raising up their hands and they want to give up. They've had enough. That's what it comes down to. You know, and then they
have to see that they're done.
Right.
There's no hope of
correct
continuing this
battle. And then they continue once again to show us you know, the action of everything that's going on top of this this hill, bunker, whatever you want to call it. And there's a shot at 52 seconds, which just really blew my mind thinking about it when I was doing my research here, that you see three American soldiers pointing towards some sort of opening or something like that. They've got their guns pointed at them. But in between two of them, there's apparently a dead German soldier that's just lying the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and again, it what basically this shows is that you know, you when you're moving forward, you move forward through whatever there is.
Yeah, you're just taking ground, and the aftermath of the battle is already there.
Correct. And again, they show us the sheer chaos of everything else that's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and
total chaos.
Yeah, and then at a certain point, we hear we hear soldiers scream, "I'll give you, comrade, you son of a bitch." You know, which I don't really. I mean, again, that's something against the Russians, I guess, as opposed to
not really sure what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it means either. And then we hear another one scream, "Lie down." Yeah. So, and then there's like this huge explosion that happens right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah, kind of jarring.
Very. And it makes you wonder, you know, where is this coming from? Is this, you know, is this the Germans that are bombarding the area or blowing something up, or the Americans that are bombarding it? Because, again, the Americans know that their men are there. So to set off such a huge explosion is crazy. Unless you're thinking about the fact that the Germans are, you know, trying to fire on the enemy on their own position in order to minimize the chances of, you know, of completely losing.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, and it's impossible to know. Is it one of ours that fell short, or is it them trying to, it's hard to know.
Yeah. And right after that explosion, we see a whole bunch of other men come up, you know, through the trenches, start spreading out as they're trying to figure out what's going on here and stuff like that. And that's the way that this minute ends. Did you have anything else? Do you want to talk about this?
No, you just begin to understand that the tide has shifted and the Americans are starting to stream forward.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
All right.
Another good minute.
Excellent. Yes, for sure. Okay, so every Thursday we have a segment which is a game. It's a relatively simple game. It's called the Say What Thursday. So what I'm going to do is this movie has lots and lots and lots of recognizable actors. So what I decided I'm going to do is I'm going to test your knowledge on movie quotes from some of the actors in this movie, but movie quotes from other movies they've been in. Okay. So what I basically every week I pick three actors that I'm going to I guess you could say highlight. Usually it's going to be Tom Hanks and Matt Damon. You know, and then I'll pick someone else sometimes to try and put it in the mix, stuff like that. So this week I've chosen the three actors that I've chosen are Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, and Paul Giamatti. All right.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quote that was said by one of these three actors in a different movie. I will tell you what year the movie came out, and you have to try and guess. You know what the movie is. You don't necessarily, if you know the name of the character, that's fine too. But and you have lifelines. You can ask for other cast members. You can ask for the director, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
All right. So we shall start with the first one. This quote is from a movie in 2000. We live and we die by time, and we must not commit the sin of turning our back on time.
Ooh. Oh, gosh. Give me another actor from that movie.
I'm trying to think of one that won't completely give it away. Nick Searcy.
Oh.
All right, that didn't help. All right. Now, again, it's a little bit more of a problem. In this particular case.
That was Sizemore, but I'm just gonna say Sizemore. I'm gonna throw the towel on this one.
No, first of all, I don't allow you to throw the towel. That's first of all, and it is not Tom Sizemore. So you've now lowered it down to two others. Another actor in the movie is Chris Noth. Does that help?
Yeah, that's gonna be Giamatti, I believe. But I couldn't give you the name of the movie.
No, it's not Giamatti either.
Then I'm going to say Tom Hanks. Wow, what movie was it?
Tom Hanks in 2000. Can you think at all of...
Maybe Apollo 13?
No, Apollo 13 came out in 95.
Okay, so 2000...
I'm going to read the quote again. We live and we die by time, and we must not commit the sin of turning our back on time.
I am still drawing a blank, and everybody who's listening is screaming at me. Oh boy. I
will give you another actor from the movie. Helen Hunt.
Jeez. I hope I'm not setting the standard for how the rest of this game is going to go. So Tom Hanks, 2000, with Helen Hunt. Okay, one more clue.
Directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, that's not going to help me. I'm absolutely terrible at this stuff.
Hanks was nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Jeez, let's see how many hints you can give me without me getting it. Okay, one more.
I'm trying to think of what else I can give you.
Okay, give me a genre.
A genre. Okay, it's a drama adventure.
Oh, that has to be Castaway.
Of course it is.
The hell am I thinking? Gee, Christmas. God. Okay. Wow, I'm an idiot. Okay.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, you say it's fine. It's not fine.
It is. Well, maybe it's not fine for you, but for me, it's fine. All right. Let's move on to the next one then.
All right.
This is a movie from 1993.
Okay.
Okay. And the character. I will even give you the full discussion, because there's a discussion between two characters, and goes, the first character who's not the one that says the quote, says, "How is California?" And then this character who you're going to mention says, "Sunny." And then the first one goes, "Sunny, you've been out there for 2 years and that's all you got to say?" And then the quote that I'm going to use now for this character is, "The Simpsons are on an hour earlier."
Oh my gosh. "The Simpsons are on an hour earlier."
Yes.
And it's from 93.
Yes. And it's either Paul Giamatti, Tom Sizemore, or Tom Hanks.
I'm going to go with Sizemore.
Okay, you are correct.
And I can see him in this movie, and I'm not gonna get the title. I can see him in this movie, and I cannot for the life of me remember which one it is.
So give me a description of something that you remember from this movie.
Well, I think it was before Sizemore had his drinking problem, and he looked a lot younger. Oh my gosh! And I think I was going to say it's a comedy, but I don't know
it is not a comedy. It is not a comedy. I will give you another actor in the movie, Dennis Farina, Tom Sizemore's father.
Well, of course, every movie that's coming to mind is a gangster movie, and I know that's not right.
Okay, it also stars Bruce Willis.
Oh, was it Road to Perdition? No, it's not Road to Perdition. It's, it is, it's a sequel.
Nope, it is not.
It's not a sequel. Nope. Okay, I'm gonna give up.
Okay, we'll be here all day. Sarah Jessica Parker's in it also.
Oh, that may be why I blotted it from my mind.
Could be Robert Pastorelli, Timothy Busfield, Brian James, John Mahoney, Andre Brower.
Oh, Andre Brower is one of my favorite actors, but I'm drawing a blank on this. So
this is a Bruce Willis movie called Striking Distance from 1993.
Oh, we could have been here all day. I don't think I'd have gotten that one.
Okay. All right, fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next one from 2001. "Now, there will be some shooting. Bacara Market is the Wild West, but be careful what you shoot at, because people do live there, too."
I want to say that's a Tom Hanks quote, but I'm going to do as badly on this one as I've done on the others. give me one more hint before we take a pass on this one.
Okay. What type of hint can I give you that will help you here? Josh Hartnett is in it. Josh Hartnett is the main character. I'll even give you that one.
This is why you need to have Alan on here. yeah, I'm not going to get this one either. You can see why I'd never do trivia night.
Okay. all right, this is from 2001, Black Hawk Down.
Oh, wow. I should have gotten
Tom Sizemore.
For sure.
Tom Sizemore,
of course. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Walt, I chose movies that I thought you would know. You know that.
Well, that's... Black Hawk Down, I should have gotten. I'm embarrassed by that. I definitely should have gotten that one.
Okay. So let's move on to the next one from 2018. Okay. "We have to be the check on their power. If we don't hold them accountable, then my God, who will?"
That is.
Sorry, it's 2017. It's 2017, not 2018. I apologize. 2017.
Okay.
You are correct with the that is Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's the spy movie.
No, it is not. It's not Bridge of Spies. Bridge of Spies okay. Came out in 2015, I think.
Well, I got Tom Hanks right.
Yeah. So you're halfway there.
I'm halfway there. And you said, I'm sorry, 2018? 2017, 2018. Okay, one more hint and we'll...
Meryl Streep is in this movie.
Well, I know it's not a war movie. And I should know what he did in 2018. And I know it's not Bachelor Party.
No.
I'll just name all the movies I know it isn't. Okay.
It was also directed by Steven Spielberg.
Oh. I would say Ready Player One, but that can't be right.
No.
It's not one of the Jurassic movies.
It's based on real on true events.
Oh. Shoot, I'm not gonna get this one either.
Okay, The Post. The Post.
Oh, The Post. Okay. And that's one I haven't seen.
Okay.
So I don't know how I got that one when I haven't even seen the movie, but
all right, and the final one from 1992. You know that's what I admire about you. Even though you're being hit on by absolutely beautiful women, you are determined to maintain your vow of chastity. You know, you'd make a hell of a Republican.
What year was that?
1992.
I'm not gonna get it, but that's a great line. Jeez. Oh man. I'm gonna say Giamatti because we haven't had him yet, and I have no idea what movie.
It is not Giamatti. It is Tom Sizemore.
Okay.
Okay. And I will give you another hint. The movie stars Wesley Snipes.
Oh. Give me the line one more time.
You know, that's what I admire about you. Even though you're being hit on by absolutely beautiful women, by an absolutely beautiful woman, you're determined to maintain your vow of chastity. You know, you'd make a hell of a Republican.
Yeah, I have no idea what the movie is, but I'm going to have to watch that one.
Passenger 57.
Oh, that's definitely a good rainy afternoon movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, sorry that.
For 5, but I was perfect.
You were. Sorry this wasn't your forte.
No, I usually don't do that badly, but I'm never great at those.
Okay, well, now you've set the bar really low for next time that you have to, move above it. You know, you're good with that.
Yeah, well, I'll be ready next time.
All right. Great. Excellent. All right. So, Walt, you want to tell people where they can find Walt Murray? Not on Trivia.
Yes. On Trivia Night. But you can find me on a podcast called The Wilder Ride. I co-host with Alan Sanders, who you'll get to hear here in a few weeks.
No, they heard him. They heard him a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago. Okay. Well, you heard Alan a few weeks ago.
You'll hear him again at the end of the season. But yeah.
Right. So we're sandwiched in between Alan Sanders. And Alan and I cover the movies of Gene Wilder 1 minute at a time, and we have covered Blazing Saddles in season 2 and Young Frankenstein in season 1 of our podcast. At some point, we're going to cover Silver Streak and maybe one or two others, probably in larger chunks, but we are both huge fans of the great Gene Wilder. So you can find us again at The Wilder Ride. We have a website, wilderride.com, or thewilderride.com. We also have a listeners group that you may want to check out on Facebook. Just search for The Wilder Ride listeners group, and you can find us there. And we've done all kinds of interviews with interesting people. And so come and check us out.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you really send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Walt, you feel like coming back tomorrow to finish off the week? There's no trivia tomorrow.
Perfect. I'll be back with no trivia.
All right. Great. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude.